Good Shepherd Mass Choir. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for the privilege to come together with the saints of God to worship you, dear Heavenly Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, today as we come humbly to the throne of grace to get a better understanding of your word, Lord, I pray that minds are touched, hearts are touched, and that you will save souls today, right here, today, at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Okay. For the next few weeks, y'all, I don't know how many weeks, probably three, but for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be dealing with the issue of depression. Depression is a major, major issue, not only in our nation, but worldwide. In my research for this message, do y'all realize that over the age of 12, according to the numbers, one out of every six people in the United States of America is on some sort of psychiatric drug. Y'all hear that? One out of six people are on some kind of psychiatric drug. Not to mention the ones who aren't on medication. We are one of the most affluent nations on the planet, and we are one of the most legally drugged nations on the planet. In the words of Robin, riddle me that one, Batman. I don't get it. I thought the more you get, the more you got, the higher up the scale you climb, I thought that was supposed to be the solution to everything. Evidently, it's not. And the message today, I want to challenge, I'm asking everybody here to go out and tell the world about Jesus Christ. I ask that every Sunday. Saints of God, go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Y'all say, yeah. And I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. But the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So my challenge to you and the challenge to myself, I want to get to the point that the saints of God, when the Bible says that every answer to every problem is in the Word of God, I just want the saints of God to believe it. How are you going to tell anybody else? I had a preacher friend, guy came to him, he was just messed up. He was messed up, his whole life was messed up. And he went into the preacher for counseling. And the preacher said, you need professional help. Come on, man! If the answer is in the Word of God, how you going to send me for? You're the preacher. You're the pastor. But see, the saints of God don't have confidence in the Word of God. So the challenge for us today is I want you to go to this book and I want you to come with me. And we're going to read what's in this book and see if God has the answer for depression. Does God teach us how to deal with one of the most devastating things in the history of our nation? Opioids, dope, drugs, legal drugs, illegal drugs, over drugs, under drugs. We're a drugged out nation. It doesn't have to be so. It does not have to be so. And the first people who should be able to say that with confidence is those who name the name of Christ. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. One thing that I love about the Psalms is that as a person who has spent a great deal of time listening to lyrics and learning music and things like that, everybody likes music. They tell you it's the universal language. And so everybody in here has a song or more right there in their head. Some of them are godly, some of them are not. Amen. But we got songs. Songs stick. The Psalms, it's a book of songs. Read them and they'll stick. Let's go to Book of Psalms. Chapter 31, verses 12 through 24. And it reads in the King James Bible, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast brought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shewed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Verse 23, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we're going to talk about, we're asking a question. Depressed? Are you depressed? Deliverance is available for you. Deliverance is available for you. Put a pin in that, because I know I'm talking to people who've been dealing. It's a human condition. Depression is a human condition. When you read the book of Psalms, you'll see even the great King David. And when we read this, this is a psalm written by King David. How many of y'all know, you heard about King David? King David. And you heard about that great victory that he had with Goliath, right? All right? And do you remember how when David saw Goliath, you remember he said to Goliath, he said, bring it on. Come on, you want to fight? I was looking for somebody to whoop when I came out here. Bring it on. Look at how bold he was, how brazen he was. But now read Psalm 31. The same man, after his youth, now he tells you, Lord, I think you forgot me. He says, Lord, I feel like a broken vessel. When I read that text, I feel like a broken vessel. All I could think about was, you know, you have something at home, and a tool, maybe a tool, and a favorite tool, and something's wrong with it. Nothing much, but something's wrong with it. And so you take it, and you put it in the garage, and you say, I'm going to fix it someday. 1 year goes by. 2 years go by. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. And it's just sitting there. David says, that's what I feel like right now, God. I feel like a broken vessel. I feel like something that used to be useful to you, and now you just stuck me on the shelf, and I'm just here. And then he says, I feel forgotten by you. I feel like a broken vessel, and I'm scared. Here in verse 13, he says, for I have heard the slander of many. He goes, I've heard how people talk about me. I heard how people slander me, how people take me and just talk. Never got anything good to say about me, always condemning me. And then not only that, they're planning and plotting to hurt me. And I'm scared. Now, wait a minute, y'all, back up a few years. This is David, grown man David. When David was a youth, Goliath even despised him because of his youth And in his youth, in his youthful trust of God, he said, let me at him. You uncircumcised Philistine, you come here, I'll kill you. I'm going to cut your head off today. Oh, that's why the Bible tells us, come to him like with the faith of a child. See, because kids ain't scared. You grow up to get a little bit scarier. Here he is, a grown man. Now he's, God, I think you forgot me. And I'm going down. God, you treat me like a broken vessel. And I'm going down. God, I'm scared. And I'm going down. Today we're going to talk about how do we recover from this depressed situation? Because everybody deals with it, y'all. Everybody deals with it, and either you're going to deal with it rightly or you're going to deal with it wrongly. But we're going to start off, we're going to talk about with the first portion, verses 12 through 18. Talk about first you trust. First you trust. Verses 9 through 22, you're trying, you're proving, you put God to the test. Verses 23 through 24. After you've trusted him, because the Bible says you got to trust him, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So after you trusted him, and then you proved him, you tried him, then he says, taste and see. I'm good. He goes, put me up against anybody you got. Put me up against anything you got. God says, trust, taste, and see. Y'all, I just think, what a mighty God we serve. He said, taste and see. So here we have this issue of depression. And let me kind of define it for you a little bit. Depression, first thing I want to let you know about depression. Depression is real, and it's not something that people are just faking about. Depression is real. Depression is powerful. But according to Scripture, and this is a across-the-board general definition according to Scripture. You know, some people have been dropped on their heads. They've had wounds. They've had accidents and stuff. And they have depression brought on by certain things like that. But by and large, the depression that we're dealing with in our nation and the world is brought on, when you look at the Bible, by rebellion to God. I know y'all looking for some deep, 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 deep answer. But God loves you so much that he makes it real simple. Check this out. Depression is real. Depression is powerful. And depression is the result, generally speaking, of yielding your members to someone or something other than God. Depression is real. Depression is powerful. And it is the result of yielding your members to someone or something other than God. Now, if that's the cause, according to Scripture, then let's see what the Bible says about the cure. The Bible says the cure is that God is real and God is more powerful than anything or anyone. And if you yield your members to him, he'll fix it. Y'all believe that? Are y'all looking for something much deeper? Y'all looking for something much deeper? I'm going to tell you, in the Bible, in this world, there's nothing new under the sun. If I told y'all it was about 20 years ago, or even if I said it last week, I didn't say it last week, but I'll just say it. I'll use the one that took place 11 years ago at Good Shepherd Baptist. Two cousins got in an argument over a football game. Two cousins got in an argument over who was going to watch which channel and which football game they were going to watch. And the argument got extremely heated. It got heated to the point to where the one cousin took a gun and he killed his cousin. That's real. That took place. I actually did the funeral for the young man who was killed. I'm like, what happened? They were watching the football. And the one got mad. It escalated. And he shot and killed his cousin at his cousin's house. Someone would say, well, you know what? We got to do something about those guns. This gun violence, that's the problem. Guns are so easily accessible. That's why he killed him. And then maybe he got a mental disease. That's why he killed his cousin. See, you keep looking for something. You keep looking for answers outside of the Word of God. Okay? Now, y'all, work with me. That's a true account of what I just gave you. Now, if I go to the Word of God, I'm trying to find out how to deal with depression. Maybe why don't I go back to the first place where it's mentioned? In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Y'all can go there. I'm going to just tell you what it says. But y'all mark that so you can go home and read it. Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, because I got to give you a little bit of a setup. There was an argument between two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. And they weren't arguing over football. They were arguing over worship. You hear me? They were arguing over worship. Wait a minute, preacher. You mean to tell me that depression is mentioned in the Bible? The problem and the cure? Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, use the Word of God. If you want to know anything about the human condition, start with the Bible and stay with the Bible. Because all this other stuff is to cloud it and obfuscate the truth. You got, just like you had two cousins, one killed the other because of the football game, here in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, you have two brothers. And God had told the two brothers to bring a sacrifice. And the Bible tells you that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and he rejected Cain's sacrifice. See, y'all used to think that was a made-up story. It's not made up. It's the historical fact. And it says, he said to Cain, verse 5, he had told Cain, he said, Cain, you didn't bring the right thing. I told you what I wanted you to do, Cain, and you didn't bring what I asked you to bring, Cain. And God says, Cain, why is your countenance? See, countenance is when you see somebody, you see they're kind of down, you say, oh, he got the blues. That's right there in the Bible. He says, Cain, why is your countenance? Why do you look so down, Cain? What's your problem, Cain? Now, isn't that interesting? God says, what's your problem, Cain? And God already knows what the problem is. He said, Cain, your countenance is bad, Cain. He said, Cain, let's do a redo. He said, Cain, look how good God is. God had told him once what he wanted, and Cain wouldn't do it. And God said, Cain, Cain, if you'll just go back and do what I asked you to do, bring the sacrifice that I told you to bring. Don't you tell me what you're going to give me. That's the problem in the church today. We keep wanting to tell God what we're going to give him instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? Instead of saying, Lord, take me, use me, Lord. No, what? God, I ain't got but 20 minutes. Now you better come with it. No, God said, Cain, I want you to go back and do what I told you to do the first time and do it the way I told you to do it. And everything will be all right. God warned him, y'all, just like God warns us. He says, you head down the wrong path. And he says, Cain, because if you don't do this, and then God gives him this beautiful visual.
God says, Cain, y'all think about this. If that foyer was filled with lions, who'd be the first one to volunteer to go out there before the pastor? Because I ain't going out. The foyer is filled with lions. And God said to Cain, he said, Cain, sin is awaiting you outside the door just like a crouching lion. And he says, Cain, if you walk out that door without repenting, without turning and doing things the way I tell you to do them, he says, Cain, sin is going to overpower you. See, y'all don't believe that. Every one of us, we think that we can overpower sin. I got this, Lord. I got this. He says, Cain, if you go out there without repenting and without doing what I told you to do it the way I told you to do it. Boy, we hate taking orders. We hate authority. We teach our kids to hate authority because we hate authority. Cain, if you go out there, sin is waiting to cry. He's going to get you. He says, but look what God says. It's right there between verses 5 and 8. He says, but Cain, if you repent and do it the way I told you to do it, you will have the victory. You will have the victory. Church, if you got depression, if you feel your continence is going down, young folks, old folks, everybody, if you feel like you're going down into a deep, dark hole, if you feel like God has forgotten you, if you feel like you're a broken vessel, been pushed off to the side, if you got fear of everything and everybody, he says, hey, come to me. Come to me now. And all those things that you're afraid of will have no authority over you because you'll be trusting in me and I'll be your buckler and your shield and your guard. Oh, what a mighty good God we serve, y'all. What a mighty good God we serve. He gives us warnings and he gives us promises before we get into the situation. But if you read that text, he told Cain, he said, Cain, don't go out there. Don't go out there unless you've repented. And the Bible tells you that Cain left without repenting. And then the Bible tells you that Cain went to his brother Abel in the field. And they squabbled and they argued. Might have been over a football game. All we know is that they argued. And Cain killed his brother. And it was brought on because his countenance went down. And when God said, deal with it the way that I tell you to deal with it, he rejected the truth of God. And God told him, God said, sin's going to get you. God didn't tell him, go take no Prozac. God said, repent and turn towards me. I'm the cause of your depression. The cause of your right now the medicine that they give people, and even the best doctor on the planet will tell you this. All it does is treat the problem. Can't cure anything. You want to know why one out of six are on these medications and counting? Because we can't cure it. We can't cure it. We only treat it. But we're using the wrong treatment. God said it was brought on by rejection of me, and it can only be fixed by the acceptance of me and my word. I want the Lord, help me. I'm just trying to get the children of God to believe this. Y'all think, oh, that's just too simplistic, Pastor. You just don't understand the depths and the reaches of this medicine. You don't know the power of God. We serve a great God. We serve a good, he's the creator of, I got a Ford out here. I don't take my Ford to the Dodge shop. I don't take my Ford to the Chevy shop. I take my Ford back to the Ford manufacturer. You're created by God. He's got the answers. He's got the solution, not just the treatment. He's got the answer. I have a very close friend who's dealing with anxiety, been dealing with it for years. He used to just, they gave him drugs that kept him in a stupor, just a constant stupor. And now, I spoke to him about 3 days ago, and I told him what I was going to be preaching on. He said, Will, he said, you know, I'm off those meds. I said, praise God. And I'm not telling everybody to get off your meds. I'm telling you, find out what the cause is. Let God treat you. I'm not against medicine, but find out how you got there, and then let God fix it. My friend said, he said, Will, I'm off my meds. I said, really? I said, how does that happen? You've been on them for years and years. How does that happen? He said, I can feel it. He said, I can actually feel it when the anxiety level is coming up. He said, I feel it. He said, I start praying. He said, I get out my Bible, and I start praying. He said, I start praying, and I start praising God and asking for deliverance. He said, because, Will, I know if I don't, it's not going to end well. I said, well, then what do? He said, I go to bed. I said, praise God. I said, and then what do? He said, I wake up in the morning, it's a brand new day. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, that's not simplistic. That's just God dealing with the creatures that he created. If Jesus said, I come to give you life and come to give it to you more abundantly, what does that mean? He come to give you life more abundantly. So what if I don't have it? Start searching out what God has for you. Amen. So first, you see right here in the fourth chapter of the Bible, you see to the best of my knowledge, the first dealing with depression in the Bible. And he tells you what the problem is. He says the problem is because Cain rejected the word of God. And God says, and the cure is, Cain, do what I asked you to do and do it the way I asked you to do it. And everything's going to be all right. It's right there in the book, y'all. So when you see somebody walk in and kill somebody today, understand, it hasn't changed. And if all you do is deal with this, you have not fixed anything. Lock him up. Lock him up if you want to. And when he gets, you read the scripture. The scripture said where the man cleaned himself up. He had a demon and he cleaned himself up. And it said the demon left him for a season. But because the man never turned to God, the Bible says the demon came back with seven of his friends. And he was worse than he was before he started. I'm telling you, if the people who name the name of Christ, if we don't believe this book, if we don't stand on the word of God, if we don't start with the Bible and stay with the Bible, what hope does the world have? They keep telling, oh, it's guns. No, it's not. Cain didn't have a gun. It was his heart. The word of God, Jesus says, from out the heart proceeds wickedness. And if you don't do something with people's hearts, better get ready. You better get ready. It's going to get uglier and it's going to get uglier and it's going to get uglier fast. If we, and I'm not even talking to the people who don't believe. I'm talking to the people in the church who name the name of Christ. The people who said, I believe the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm asking on y'all. Start telling people. Here's the solution. It's in the man's heart. Jesus said, from out of the heart. Not Pastor Will. Jesus said, from out of the heart proceeds wickedness. Now, is that true or not? Can I get an amen on that? Then let's deal with the heart. Learn how to trust him. He says, first you trust him. He goes, I feel, Lord, I'm my conscience, my whole being, I'm so down, I'm so depressed, I'm so hurt. He goes, I feel forgotten. Man, what a horrible feeling. What a horrible feeling. What a horrible feeling. Nobody knows what I'm going with. Nobody knows what I'm dealing with. I'm by myself, and I got nobody. Even God has turned his back on me. That's what we feel when you get depressed. Even God don't want me. Even God don't want me. But, ooh, I'm here to tell you. God said, I've been wanting you all the time. He said, I want you so bad, I sent my son to get you. And I sent my son to shed blood for you. Oh, what a good God we serve. Don't ever say that God don't want you. Don't ever say that God won't take you back. Ever. Because for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He said, if you just trust him, just call on his name, and I'll save you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. He said, verse 14 is our key verse. He says, but I trusted in thee. This is the psalmist. The psalmist is, he's telling God, God, I'm going to start trusting you. I felt forgotten. I felt broken. And I felt fear. But I'm going to trust you. He said, verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Jehovah is my God. When the church, when the saints of God determine that Jehovah is my God, turn your Bibles just a couple pages back to Psalm 18:2. I'm going to give you a sevenfold protection of from the moment, the instant, the second that you say, Jehovah is my God. Look what happens. Psalm 18, verse 2. Sevenfold protection. The Lord is my rock, 1, and my fortress, 2, and my deliverer, 3. My God is my strength, 4, in whom I shall trust, my buckler, 5, and the horn of my salvation, 6, and my salvation, 7. And he is my high tower. Sevenfold protection, y'all. When you say Jehovah is my God, don't you know that's what Ruth said to Naomi? Ruth said to Naomi, she said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. And from that moment on, Ruth became a child of the king. Don't you know, anybody in here, if you've never made that decision for Christ, if you've never believed, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, don't you know you could do that right now? Right now you could say, Jehovah is my God. You could say, Lord, I believe that your son came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for my sin. Skip everybody else. I mean, I'll be concerned with y'all after I get saved, but I'm concerned. I'm the one who's been forgotten. I'm the one who's like a broken vessel. I'm the one who's being chased by fears when people ain't chasing me. He says, I save you. Ooh, he says, I save you. He says, let me see any other. What other God you got like that? What other God you got like that? Every other God, you got to tote him wherever you want to tote him. You got to go find him where he's at. God, the God of the heavens and earth, he's there 24/7. Amen. Verses 12 through 18, trust him. Trust him. He says, my times. He said, my times. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me from for thy mercy's sake. Lord, save me because of your reputation. Don't save me because I got anything to offer, because the truth of the matter is the Bible says that even on our best day, no matter who you are, do you know the Bible says, according to the word of God, on your best day, your best is as a filthy rag. Stop coming telling God how I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking, I stopped pimping, I stopped this, and I stopped. Will you please stop coming and telling God all those things? He's not interested. What he's interested in is, do you trust him? Is your faith in him and him alone? What come to Christ, all you have to cling to is nothing else but cross, Christ and his cross. Come and humble yourself. Stop. Boy, we think very highly of ourselves. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And he says, I will lift you up. Stop rolling your eyes at your parents. Stop talking back to your mama and your daddy. Learn how to be obedient. Because if you're going to disobey your mama and your daddy, you're going to disobey God. That's for your young folks. That's just the truth of the matter. If you won't listen to the people who gave you birth, fed you every day, clothed you every day, cleaned you up, when you didn't even know what clean up was, and now you done got a little bit of voice and you're going to tell them, I ain't got to listen to you. Boy, man, God will mess you up. God will mess you up. Don't you think? No. What does he mean when he says that your days might be longer? Honor your father and your mother, that your days might be longer. Y'all figure that out. Y'all smart enough. Amen. I'm getting some smiles out here. I like that. I like it when the young folks, when they connect the dots, and they go, oh. I think he's talking to us. Yeah, that's the word of God talking to you. He said, how dare you not listen to the people that I gave you to be your mom and your daddy? How dare you? How dare you? Teach him authority. Teach him the authority, and you just might save their lives. I'll move on. He said, God, save me for your sake, for your mercy's sake. God, you got a name to protect. Save me so that people will know who you are, God. And then I love this part right here where this is for the mature saints. This is a challenge, not only for myself, but this is a challenge to everybody here who names the name of Christ. Verse 17, when he's talking about trust, he says, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. He's saying, God, don't make me look bad. Now think about this. In 1 Kings chapter 18, don't go there because it's the whole chapter. Write it down. Read it when you get home. Some of you are familiar with the account. When David is saying, he said, now, Lord, I'm standing here. I'm feeling forgotten. I'm feeling broken. I've got fear. But now I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my trust in you. And so now that I'm putting my trust in you, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And he says, and the psalmist, he's just like so many of us. Look, God, don't make me go out on a limb and then you don't come through for me. Now, think about this. Elijah, the prophet Elijah. I love this man, Elijah. I love this man, Elijah, because he had total confidence in God. When his people, God's chosen people, were waffling back and forth, and they were worshiping Baal and Jezebel. Oh, Jezzy was a bad woman, but we don't talk about Jezzy. We're going to talk about Elijah. Jezzy had 500 prophets, 500 preachers. Now, how could 500 preachers be wrong, y'all? Come on, y'all. I saw him on TV. He got to be telling the truth. Okay, you keep buying that. Okay. 500 prophets of Baal. We're talking about don't let me be ashamed. How much faith does it take for a preacher, for a prophet of God to stand up before the king and his wicked wife? How much faith does it take for the prophet to stand up? And he says, I tell you what, we're going to set up two altars. You set up your altar over here to Baal, and I'm going to set up an altar over here to the one true and living God. Oh, my goodness. Don't let me be ashamed, God. Don't let me be put to shame. He goes, you set up your altar over there. I'm putting up an altar over here. And then it says that they took water. And this is in the middle after a three-year drought. Three-year drought? Oh, I thought global warming just now got here. That's a different story. Y'all, but start with the Bible. Start with the Bible. And stay with the Bible. It was a three-year drought, no rain. And the Bible says that Elijah had enough faith in God that he said, hey, I want y'all to go, and I want y'all to go get some barrels of water. Water was precious. And he said, I want you to dump water all around my altar. He said, first, I want y'all to jump and shout and scream and holler and see if your God. He said, whichever God answers by fire, let him be God. Lord, don't let me be ashamed. But when I start telling people about how good you are, when I start telling people how you're going to bring me through, Lord, don't let me be made to shame. Lord, you got my back? I got your back. Okay. Elijah. The prophets of Baal danced. They cut themselves. They sang. They danced. They screamed. They hollered. And Elijah even made fun of them. I know y'all say that's politically incorrect. Preacher, you're not supposed to criticize other religions. Elijah did it. Elijah said, hey, while y'all over there jumping and shouting and screaming and hollering, he said, hey. Maybe your God, maybe he left town. Yeah. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's just out for a little while. Oh, they had a fit. Then Elijah said, okay, y'all tried it. He said, now I want y'all to take some water and pour it around my altar. Soak it. Get it soaking wet. Lord, don't let me be ashamed. Lord, I got some folks on my job I want to witness to. Lord, don't let me slip up on my testimony. Don't let me be put to shame. Lord, don't let them catch me smoking dope with them, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, better yet, stop me from smoking dope. But it's legal, Pastor. Okay. Your testimony. Don't let anybody put your testimony to shame. Elisha said, God, would you please manifest yourself right here in front of the heathens? And the Bible says, Elijah called down fire from heaven. See, because just like the psalmist said, don't let me be ashamed, God. God, give me a life. Give me a testimony that when people look at me, when people talk to me, that's not selfish, y'all. That's just wanting to glorify God. When people hear you speak, when people walk, watch you walk on your job, Lord, let me be a living testimony. Don't let me try to come up with some why, something as to why I don't have to do what you tell me to do. Give me a heart of obedience to you, Lord. Don't give me a heart of, yeah, but, when it comes to the word of God. Elijah called fire down. The Bible tells you that God honored Elijah. I'm here to tell you. You want to get out of that depression? You want to glorify God and let him lift your countenance? Start obeying him. Start trusting him. And he will not let you be put to shame in front of the heathen. Because he's got a name that he's got to protect, y'all. And if the Bible tells you that a good name is worth more than silver and gold, guess who means that more than anybody? God. He says, don't let me be put to shame. Let the wicked be put to shame. And then he says, let the lying lips, verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great. Now we go from first trusting God to now we're trying God. We're putting him to the test. Trusting him is from verse 12 to verse 18. Putting him into the test is verse 19 to verse 22. He says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Stop right there. We keep wondering if God's going to run out of blessings. The psalmist said, God's got a storehouse of blessings. He said, God's got blessings laid up and laid up and laid up that ain't even been claimed yet. He says, because at some point in time, you're going to have to obey me. I got them laid up waiting on you. He goes, which thou hast wrought for them. And it's not for everybody, but it's for those who trust thee. Only for the people who trust in thee, in front of people, before the sons of men. It's, you know, here in church, everybody looks so holy. Everybody dressed up looks so nice. Ain't nobody cussing at each other. Ain't nobody giving hand signals to each other. Ain't nobody over here with a 40-ounce in a bag somewhere. Hey, everybody look good here. Everybody, y'all look so good. Y'all look so good. But the psalmist said, Lord, give me a testimony in front of the sons of men. Outside of these walls, that's where the test is. How do we conduct ourselves outside of these walls? Oh, it's easy in here. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But when you get outside of these walls, does anybody know that you belong to Jesus? Ah, come on, church. Trusting first, then trying, putting to the test. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. David is now, you can see his countenance is coming back up. Before he was fearful, before he was broken, before he thought he was forgotten. He said, but now, he says, blessed be the Lord. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. He says, y'all, I'm beyond that fear. I'm coming up out of that depression because I'm putting my weight on God instead of resting on my own understanding. I'm putting everything I have on God. And he says, and he is showing me marvelous things. And verse 22, he says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. You want to know why so many people are in depression? Why their countenance is down? Because they really believe that God has cut them off. And they really believe it because they have a cheerleader there. They got a cheerleader named Satan. And Satan is there saying, ooh, God is through with you. man, you have messed up this. You have really messed it up this time. And David says, it was in my haste. Before I really started to stop and think about who, the God I serve, before I stopped to think about how much God loved me and how God loved me so much, he sent his son for me. He sent his son to die for me. In my haste, I thought God was through with me. And I want y'all to know, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, because in your haste, we overlook the word of God and we just go by our feelings and we start thinking, well, I just don't feel like I'm loved. I just don't feel like I'm good enough for God. I don't feel like I'm going to fit. And God says, oh, put your trust in me and I'll raise you up. Humble yourself in the mighty hands of God, and in due season, he will lift you. He will exalt you. That's the word, exalt you. He'll lift you up. Amen. Verse 23, here's where we get. I'll do 22 one more time. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. It's personal. Here this man is talking to the God of the universe, of all creation, and he's saying, when I cried, you heard me. Church, young folks, old folks, you got issues that are driving you, they're driving you away. They're making you feel forgotten. They're making you feel like a broken vessel. They're making you scared of everything around. People are out to get me all the time. So, mama's messing with me. Daddy's messing with me. My boss is messing with me. The preacher's messing with me. Everybody's messing with me. This psalmist calls on the God, the creator of all the universe, the one who by the power of his might keeps everything going. And yet and still, he says, when you call me, I'll be there. Oh, man, when you call me. And the psalmist says, right there, he says, nevertheless, thou heardest my voice. The angels are even saying, who is man that God is concerned with him? Let me remind you. For God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten, he gave the best he had, his only begotten son, that you might have eternal life. Don't sell God short. Put your trust in him. Put your trust in him, and then try him. And then last, we went from trusting him to trying him, and now he says, oh, taste and see that God is good. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 34:8. And it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's good. He's good. That old school TV show, Andy Griffin. Andy said, oh, it's good. It's good. God is good. At some point, God, people, the ones who name the name of God, we got to say, in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our sorrows, in the midst of our heartache, you got to be able to say, God is good. God is good. And he says, verse 23, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Okay, y'all, think about this for a minute. Read about this. This is a good theological point. Oh, love the Lord, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. That makes sense. The Lord preserveth the faithful. I understand that. But then what's the second part? And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Wait a minute. What does he mean he plentifully rewards? I thought God hates the proud. I know God hates the proud. I had to do a little thinking on this. I had to do a little meditating on this because that's a difficult, it can be a difficult passage. Some of y'all are pretty sharp. Y'all probably caught it real quick. He says, and he plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Romans 6:23. And it reads,
For the wages of sin is death. I'll stop right there. Go back to the psalm. And he plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Y'all, God said, you keep sinning. You keep sinning. You keep rebelling against me. You keep doing what I told you don't do. You keep doing it your way, and I'm going to pay you. He said, because you're earning wages. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help. See, the wages of sin. See, you get paid. God said, I'm going to pay you everything that you got coming to you for your rebellion against me. Oh, Lord, that's a check I don't want. I want mercy and I want grace. He said, but understand, I will plentifully. God said, I will not forget. I will not forgive not one thing. Not one thing of those who have never named the name of Christ. He goes, you will pay for every single bad thought. You will pay for every single bad deed. You will pay for every ounce of rebellion against me. I'm keeping it. I'm keeping score. Oh, man. Oh, man. He says, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you. But he said there's a way out. He says in verse 23, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You trust him first. First thing, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. He goes, when you look at the sun, the moon, the sky, you know God's real. He said, now trust me. Trust me. And then once you put your trust in me, he goes, I want you to put me to the test. He said, put me to the test. He says, all that confusion you have, all that where you think you've been forgotten, all that where you think that you're being treated like a broken vessel, and all that fear, you're running when nobody's chasing. When people have depression, they're either running all the time or they're sitting still, moping. Running, 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 and getting nowhere. Or they're just sitting there in a ball of tears daily. He says, trust me first. And I give you good reason to trust me because I love you so much. I gave my only begotten son that whosoever believes that's the litmus test for the whole world, y'all. Not just America, that's the litmus test for the whole world, that whosoever believes that should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, now try me. Try me. See when I clean you up from the inside out. See if I won't make it so that your old friends will look at you and say, something's going on here. Something's happening here. He looks the same, but he don't walk the same. His feet don't take him to the same destination. His tongue don't talk like it used to talk. He don't think the way he used to think. Something's going on here. He said, just try me. Try me. He said, and then, once you get to know me, taste, and you'll see that I'm good. I'm good. Y'all, it's not a trite thing when people say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Deliverance is available